is a critical moment.
Hello, I'm Dan Brown.
I'm Brandi Crawford Eryu. We are your TV BFFs, and this is an interview podcast about the TV shows that people love most. Each episode, we bring on a guest to discuss their top six shows of all time based on what we call the BFF criteria. With so much TV out there, we want to know, what are the best shows you've ever seen? What are your absolute favorite shows? And what are the shows that you would watch on a loop forever?
Absolutely. Each episode, our guest will pick two shows in each of the three BFF categories, those categories being their best, favorite, and forever shows, all while choosing from the three genres of TV, which we've defined as drama, comedy, and unscripted. And with that, let's get to our guest this week and find out what is in their top six. We're very excited to have this guest with us today. He's an all-star producer, and you definitely know his shows, including The Daily Show with Trevor Noah and the amazing podcast Adulting with Jordan Carlos and Michelle Buteau. Please welcome Christian Bonda.
Woo! Thank you so much for having me on to just, you know, nerd out.
Thanks for coming on. So real quick, before we get into your TV shows and your list and everything, I do want to talk about The Daily Show for a minute. So Brandi and I, listeners know we both work in unscripted development. But before that, I had a run on some comedy shows. I was a page at SNL and Jimmy Fallon. And then I spent a couple of years as a PA at The Daily Show with Jon Stewart back in, like, gosh, it would have been like 2010, 2011, around there. I remember the Rally to Restore Sanity was like the big deal when I was there. So it was a while back.
I was a freshman in college. I went to Fordham University Lincoln Center, and we all went to the rally in DC.
Oh, really? Nice.
Yeah, we're like, yeah, you know, let's do a thing. This seems like fun. So we went. I work in studio. Do you remember the studio room?
That's right. I do. Yeah. So studio is like the research hub, right?
Essentially, yeah, being a producer can mean many different things. Some be a segment producer. And we pitch all the news of the day at the top of the morning to Trevor and the writers, essentially get paired with a writer and an editor, and we, you know, mold the segment, so to speak. So there's research involved.
Yeah. Before you were at The Daily Show, what were you working on? Like, where were you before you landed at TDS?
Initially, I my first ever TV gig was as an executive assistant at MTV2. And then there was a lot of PA work on commercials, on one-off shows. I was at Netflix. I was at music festivals. And right before The Daily Show, I was a copywriter for Budweiser.
Oh, interesting.
Oh.
Yeah. At this company called Vayner. It's been a windy road. I was bussing tables, you know, everything to make ends meet in New York, especially. And The Daily Show kind of came together for me, and it'll have been 3 years, I guess.
Wow. Nice.
And through all that, all those travels, watching a lot of TV along the way.
Oh, absolutely. It's the only thing I like to do, honestly. Like, it truly is. It's my Zen garden, the four corners of a TV screen. Like, you can't get me away from the TV. I love that shit. That's why we do what we do, I guess.
That's right. I hear you.
Before we get to your BFF criteria to start talking about all your shows, we do want to know a little bit more about your personal TV history. So we are going to start with you revealing to us the shows that almost made your list. So these are the shows that didn't make your top six, but they just missed out. So they're not your TV BFFs, but they're still like pretty good friends. So what's your first almost show?
My first almost show, let's do Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
Okay. Nice.
Parks and Rec holds such a dear, special place in my heart. It didn't quite make the list. It's not in the pantheon, but that is my Southern comfort, like my fried chicken, my ice cream, like. Mm-hmm. That show actually literally got me through a breakup. I would just run through episodes of Parks and Rec.
Dude, to be honest, me too. We'll get into it.
Yes, you understand me, yeah. Dan. Yes, I love Parks and Rec. I'm going to say I think it's better than The Office.
I agree.
People can come at me at That Boy Band on Instagram if you're pissed at me for saying so. Parks and Rec didn't quite make it, but I cherish that show. All right, this one I'm actually really excited about, and I'm sure, I'm going to assume you guys saw it, and you're like, what? The Star Wars Clone Wars animated show.
Well, once again, you and Dan are right on
once
the same
again,
page.
My friend, we are on a similar page.
The last four episodes, I'll put the last four episodes of Clone Wars animated series up with, like, any other animated show. Sometimes I just get high at 2 a.m. and I'll throw on the last four episodes and rewatch them all. Like,
wow.
I don't know how into Star Wars you are, Brandy. Do you
talk about Star Wars? Not at all. Not at all. But I am happy to hear you guys talk about it.
Brandy, like, this is the thing about Star Wars. If you don't fuck with it, I'd be like, yo, fair enough, because it's weird. Like,
it's weird as hell. It's super fucking weird.
I honestly didn't even see the first. I saw the prequel movies, the ones from the 90s. I saw those like at the theater because I was just starting to drive, I think, when those came out. So that's what we did, was go to the movies. But I went into those having never seen the first three.
Oh, that's tough.
And I actually don't think that I watched the first Star Wars until I was pregnant with Yuli. So this is like 5 years ago.
Dang, what made you turn it on?
It was on TNT and I was home. And when you're pregnant, you can't do shit. So I was like, well, this movie's on. Let's watch it. And I watched all three of them.
Fuck yeah.
I'm not surprised it took you a while if your first taste of Star Wars was those first prequel films, because the first two are bad. But what's cool about this show, to bring it back to the Star Wars, the Clone Wars, the TV show, is that it fleshes out those bad movies and like, because it's in that same timeline. It's like between the second and third prequel movie, basically.
Animated series did an impossible task in making me appreciate the prequels, like really, right. Like look back on them fondly, which is crazy because they sucked. Like, yeah. But what it feels in, this show fills in the crevices in such a beautiful way. It gives the viewers, I mean, their first taste of Ahsoka Tano, who should be like the most known character in Star Wars because she is my favorite. Like, fuck Obi-Wan, fuck Anakin. Like, and she's played by Rosario Dawson on the new live action situation going on. Disney Plus. By the end of the series, I was in love with Star Wars again. And especially after The Last Jedi, I thought I was done with Star Wars. I was like, don't you ever. I never want to see that rolling script. I never want to see any of you ever again.
Oh, so wait, you didn't like Last Jedi?
Oh, not Last Jedi. I'm sorry. Rise of Skywalker?
Yeah, okay, good. All right, good. So we're still same page. Last Jedi fucking rocks.
Yeah.
Episode 9 was dog shit.
I wish I brought tomatoes into the theater to throw at the screen. I was pissed.
Yeah. Two good ones to start. I mean, I'm loving them so far anyway. What else is on your almost list? What was close?
Okay, it's tough because The Wire is, wow. I mean, it's one of the greatest shows ever, right?
Yeah.
And I love The Wire, but am I going back and putting on episodes of The Wire? Not really that much. It's kind of like reading a beautiful book and closing the book and being like, that was an awesome journey. And then the book goes back on the shelf. That's how I feel about The Wire.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I know I'm a herb for putting on the almost list, but it's just not, it's not right in the corner of my heart for me. I don't know. Maybe in 10 years time, I'll do a rewatch and it'll move up. But funnily enough, one of the best shows of all time is not on my BFF criteria.
I mean, all-star list of almost shows here. Do we have any others before we transition into the criteria?
Yes. I think about this show all the time. It hurts me. But I loved, I'm talking about The Leftovers. Have you guys seen The Leftovers?
Ooh.
I have not seen The Leftovers.
You haven't seen Leftovers, have you, Dan?
I'm with you. I think about it often. And especially, I recently watched and have talked a lot on this podcast and probably will continue to talk a lot about Station 11.
Yep. I finished up Station 11 as well. Yeah.
Oh, man. And it gave me such strong, you know, Leftovers vibes, obviously with the Patrick Somerville of it all. But I'm going to have to go back and rewatch The Leftovers very soon because it's been too long.
I think so, too. I just needed to be in. I need a. I'm going to have to talk to my therapist before I go back down that lane.
Right, exactly.
It makes you confront mortality in a very blunt way, in a way I haven't really thought about life and death before. Just imagining in the blink, there's, I think, episode 9, season 1. That's like the disappearance is happening. Like, that's the episode. So it's kind of like a flashback episode.
Mm-hmm.
And all these people are with these people that are just gone in the blink of an eye, even less than the blink of an eye. And just reckoning with that is like a very wild, it made an imprint on me in an incredible way. And I don't know, I think about it, yeah, all the time.
Yeah. You know what would be interesting, though, is like watching it post-pandemic. Because if you think back on it, like the whole premise is, what if, what is it, 2%?
I believe it was 2%. That sounds
something
right.
Something like that. What if 2% of the world's population disappeared in an instant? And then like post-pandemic, you're kind of like, well, it wasn't in an instant, but like that kind of fucking happened. So as like an allegory post-pandemic watch, extra chats with the therapist might be necessary for this one. You know what I mean?
For sure.
Yeah. It's also an interesting story because the first season was based on a novel.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, and it's a Damon Lindelof show, Damon Lindelof of Lost and later Watchmen fame. So then after season one, Damon kind of just takes it in his own direction and continues the story without any additional source material. And I think actually seasons two and three are probably stronger for that reason. Although season one isn't bad by any stretch. It's not like you need to get through it to get to the good stuff. It's still really good, but it's a show that gets better as it goes, which is rare.
They say season two is one of the best seasons of television ever. And I agree.
Yeah.
Okay. That was a strong endorsement.
Yeah,
we got it. All right. All right.
Yeah,
we got it.
You guys turned me around. But I will say that I'm very good. Dan knows this. I'm very good at watching the first couple episodes of anything.
That's right.
And even if I really liked it, just being like, oh, yeah, that was really good. And then never going back.
Well, in fairness, Brandon, you got young ones in the house. Like, you're doing a whole bunch of stuff. So I feel you. But I do want to hear what you think about The Leftovers. But yeah, those are my almost shows.
So let's get into the TV BFF criteria. I mean, we've had some heavy hitters already. I can't even imagine what's going to be on this list. We asked you to pick 6 shows in total, with 2 shows in each of the 3 categories, those being your best, favorite, and forever shows. So the best shows are the ones that are the most artistic or well-executed, just the best made shows you've ever seen. Like, these should win all the awards type shows. Your favorite shows are the ones that hold a place near and dear to your heart. They mean something to you maybe a bit more personally. Maybe they hit on nostalgia. And then for your forever shows, if you died tomorrow and in the afterlife, you get to choose 2 shows to watch in order from pilot to finale over and over for infinity. What are those shows?
And then for each category, we had you choose from what we are kind of defining as the 3 overall genres of TV, which are comedy, drama, and unscripted. And unscripted is everything from reality shows to documentary series to game shows. The only thing is there must be multiple episodes, so there's no one-offs allowed. But other than that, you know, it can be anything. And there is, most importantly, no such thing as a guilty pleasure here. If you love the show, we want to hear about it, we want to talk about it, this is a no judgment zone. The only other rule is that you can't double up on a genre in 2 of the 3 categories. So if you pick 2 dramas in your best category, then your other 2 can't have a repeat genre, to just spice it up a little bit. So let's get into it. Christian, what is your first best show?
It's got to be Breaking Bad.
Ooh, fuck
solid,
yeah.
Solid choice.
Fuck yeah.
I'm a basic motherfucker, but like, you know, sometimes the proof's just in the pudding. that show it's thunderous for me. And
wow,
everyone is acting their ass off. Like Cranston, I love Cranston, but he hasn't been as good as he was in Breaking Bad since. Like that was peak.
That was peak.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Paul was a force. Hasn't really done much since since he left the show either. But when I think of just the prototypical anti-hero that you can also sympathize with, I go to Walter White. That show, I don't know. I can't say enough good things about it. I love Breaking Bad.
So did you get into Breaking Bad while it was still on, or did you get into it after, like when it was all available so you could watch all of it? Or like, did you, cause like I got into it, like, I think it was on season 3. So it wasn't on Netflix yet. And we were getting like bootleg copies of it. And then I was like watching it live, I think from season 4 on.
So this is what happened. And spoiler warning for Breaking Bad. I was home in Mass during college, just on a break, and I was flipping through the channels, and I just went to AMC, and it was like the last 5 minutes of Breaking Bad before another episode was coming up.
Okay, uh-oh.
And here's the thing. It just happens to be the parking lot episode of season 3 with the twins and Hanks. Uh-oh. Yeah.
Oh, shit. Oh.
That was the first scene of Breaking Bad I'd ever seen, and I was arrested, and then the credits rolled, and I was like, I need to see everything. And by the end, like, we had an apartment off campus. We were having Breaking Bad parties when it was airing. Like, we had a whole, like, shindig for the finale. So, like, the first bit of Breaking Bad I saw was that parking lot scene. And I was just like, I need to know how we got here.
Wow. That's amazing.
When I see those twins, I just hear the theme music. And I just, you know, I get all jacked up. That scene is quintessential Breaking Bad to me. It's awesome.
The twins are terrifying.
The twins are terrifying. Are you watching Better Call Saul? Either?
Mm-hmm. Love it.
Yeah. I mean, Dan, it's in... You guys have some criteria overlap.
A lot of crossover, Christian, man. We have very similar tastes. In my best category, I have Breaking Bad, but when we recorded the episode, I kind of had to talk through it because Better Call Saul, to me, is right up there. Mm-hmm. And I've said this before, I think the degree of difficulty is higher because we know what we know going in, and they've had to totally, you know, they started with a completely different show that felt different in, you know, had different, you know, tones and vibes. And over the course of five seasons, they just now feel like Breaking Bad episodes, but it's called Better Call Saul. So it's like, I'm dying to see what that line's going to be. And once it's done, I think it's going to be real hard to distinguish which is the better show, in my opinion. Back to Breaking Bad, though, Christian, do you have a favorite season? Because I feel like that show, each season kind of was distinctive. Not as much as like something like The Wire, but to me, they each kind of stand out. Do you have a favorite season or a favorite stretch of episodes?
I have to be honest in saying the last five-ish episodes of season four are magnificent. I love those. I feel like that was Walt's true villainous turn, ending Gus. I love the balancing act that the character Walter White has to pull off so many small things in such a short window of time. I could watch the last four episodes of season four forever.
I've been waiting all day, waiting for Gus to send one of his men to kill me. And it's you. Who do you know who's okay with using children? Jesse, who do you know who's allowed children to be murdered? Gus! He has been 10 steps ahead of me at every turn. And now, the one thing that he needed to finally get rid of me is your consent. And boy, he's got that now. He's got it. And not only does he have that, but he manipulated you into pulling the trigger for him.
Well, you and I knew about the rice.
No! You don't even believe that! Gus's camera's everywhere, please. Listen to yourself!
So, Christian, what are you putting up next to Breaking Bad in your next slot?
I have to give it to Game of Thrones.
Wow. Okay.
I have to. And I'm not going to let whatever basura that last season was dictate how that show made me feel as it was airing. Every Sunday was the Super Bowl.
Yeah. With Game
of Thrones in a legitimately distinctive way. I don't know that any show will ever match the magnitude of event TV like Game of Thrones did for me. I, you'll learn this about me. I do love getting a little high and watching scenes of stuff.
Don't we all?
Yeah, we all do.
But I love getting zooted and watching the Battle at the Top of the Wall from season four.
Oh, shit. All right.
I know. Everyone's like, Battle of the Bastards, fine. I think this is the best battle in Game of Thrones. This is the Battle at the Top of the Wall. I love that shit. And it's beautifully shot.
Hardhome might take it for me. That one fucking rocked. And it was like one of the earlier ones where like, whoa. This shit is on another level, you know?
Yes. And I just loved not being coddled with as a viewer. I loved knowing that I was going to have my soul ripped out of my body every Sunday.
Yeah, they don't care who you love.
They don't care who you love. They don't give a fuck about you. And I'm like, hell yeah.
Like, I will kill you. Nobody's safe. I will. This person can and will die.
Uh-huh.
And this bad person will get away with everything.
Every fucking thing.
Yep.
And just, you know, as we're all in the TV land, and just as producers, what they pulled off in terms of geographically just plotting everything, they filmed this shit like they took up half of a hemisphere filming this show and pulled it the fuck off in a really magnificent way.
I honestly feel like even though the last season is what it is, but why I respect the last season is because of all the people behind the scenes that had to pull off the last season. Like, the writing is one thing, but the fact that like this is what they gave us, like that's pretty impressive.
Did you watch the little mini doc?
The Last Watch?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The Last Watch was fantastic.
Yeah.
I loved it. And again, as a producer, I think we discussed, yeah, Star Wars earlier, the animated series, like, kind of made you appreciate the prequels, like, what they had to do in the last watch, and just everyone working sleepless hours.
I think that's why I, like, I give the last season a little bit of a pass. Like, do I love what happened with the story? Like, obviously no. But the fact that they brought, like, they worked within the parameters that they were given, and they did a really good job making it happen.
I mean, Kit Harington had to go to therapy because he could not divorce himself from Jon Snow. Like, yeah. That's a real thing. He had to go to therapy after the show ended. Like, they were running on fucking fumes. And unfortunately, we saw the fumes. I think Thrones is, it's a feat that will go unmatched, I believe.
All right, so Breaking Bad and Game of Thrones are your best shows. Yeah. What is your first favorite show?
My first favorite show, near and dear to my heart, Lost.
Wow, making history. First time it's been in a criteria. Right mm-hmm. now.
Really?
Yeah, it's been in almost shows.
This one, yes, has been mired in almost shows. Everyone leaves it off because of the end. So we'll have to get into it. But talk to us about why Lost is a favorite show for you first.
I don't know if I would be a TV producer without that show and the impact it had on me as a youngster. It was the first. So I used to listen to back when no one really knew podcasts were like popping in like 04, but they were out there on iTunes. Maybe you guys were listening to the podcast, but I was an OG, and there were these two dudes in North Carolina, Jay and Jack, from Raleigh, North Carolina. And they had three Lost podcasts a week, just breaking down, theorizing, having interviews. And here I am on my iPod Classic, just eating it up, just loving life. Like, Lost consumed my world. I remember in eighth grade, there's like a group of us. There's me, my friends, and like our music teacher. Like, we'd stay late after school and talk about Lost and theorize. I grew up as a competitive dancer, jazz, tap, ballet, modern. And it was on every Wednesday night. And ballet was generally like an hour and a half. And during like the last couple seasons of Lost, I would fully be like, hey, I have a big test tomorrow. Can I cut out, study up? You know, my mom really needs me to bone up. And I just go home and sit my ass and watch Lost and be like, I'm fully lying to my ballet teacher. And it took over my life in a beautiful way. And it's always going to be, it's very formative for me, that show.
I want to hear more about, like you mentioned, it's the reason you're a producer today. What did it engage for you? What did it like turn on for you that made you want to produce content?
Man, this, I haven't really thought about this in a while. I don't know. It was magic happening before my eyes. That's how it felt in high school. It really felt like the craft, the acting, the obsession with the world it created. It fostered community in a way I hadn't seen before. Lost was a show that like united people in a really beautiful way. And I was like, if I can ever come close to like making anyone feel the way that show made me feel, then all of a sudden it was a job well done for me. The podcasting, the side groups, the numbers, 4, 8, 15, 16, 23, 42. There we go. Okay. Wow. Everything about that show just took me over. I was ditching class. I was fucking up in high school and homework. I was listening to my iPod Classic in bed on podcasts. It became a friend. It was a friend to me.
I love that.
You kind of touch on like a cultural tide turning around when Lost came out. And that is kind of like the rise of social media kind of coincided with that show being out. And so these communities were really able to kind of flourish. Like you could find your people, you know, it's like these podcasts are out, you know, you can join, like there's, you know, like chat threads you can join. Like, I don't know if Reddit was here in like, you know, the early 2000s, but like that's, I feel like when shows in a way that like it didn't really happen in the 90s, it's like everybody loved Seinfeld, everybody loved Friends, everybody like loved these 90s shows, but it's not like you found like a wider community for it, like outside of the people that you immediately knew. And I feel like with Lost, like there were groups like springing up, like, and communities growing, like because of the show.
Christian, before we leave Lost, because we need to go back to the metaphor one more time about landing the plane, because it famously started with a plane that did not land.
Well, it just landed in a way that they didn't plan for.
Exactly. But this one, though, I think unlike Game of Thrones, which is pretty roundly like across the board disliked how that plane was landed. Lost is a little bit more debated. Like, I personally did not hate it. I was cool with it. I'm like, all right, yeah. They said it wasn't going to be a religious allegory. Kind of was, but that's fine. It worked for me. What was your take on the finale and how it all ended?
I think as I've gotten older, I look a bit more fondly on the way Lost has ended because I've just seen so many shows that have fucked up their finales. And to... I believe it wasn't like an interdenominational like church type deal. Like they were already dead. Like, spoiler alert, sorry, y'all. I'm trying to remember.
Spoiler alert. They're basically the island was purgatory. Basically, they're all dead. Yeah.
I mean, they tied that bow the best they could, especially when they fully admit that they were just throwing shit at a wall to see what stuck for
for a long time. Yeah.
Yeah, but its influence on my life, career, and like. It really, I don't know. I didn't know shows could make me feel the way that show made me feel.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's a definition of a favorite show. Love to hear that. What's going next to Lost? So you just a reminder, you have doubled up a genre in your best. So you had two dramas there. So your next one here has got to be a unscripted or a comedy. What do you got?
I got Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Ooh.
Awesome.
Let's talk about it.
Oh my God. And like, we also have to talk about this new gritty drama.
Well, that I definitely want to talk about that. But first, I want to hear all about, like, because Fresh Prince was a formative show for me as well. I love that show. Wanted to, obviously, like, be in that family.
Of course. Like, and who was cooler than fucking Will Smith at that point in time? Like, I wanted to be the fuck out of that dude. Like, it was kind of like just seeing me on the screen in a really beautiful way. And it was comfort food. I was always watching reruns. I've seen every episode at least like 10 times, I swear to God, over the course of my life. And also just the, like, it's helmed by Quincy Jones. Like,
yeah.
Like, forget that Quincy Jones, who can do everything apparently in the whole world, from composing pieces for Frank Sinatra to Thriller to making fucking Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Like, it's such a beautiful cultural snapshot that holds up so well. It's still fucking funny in a really fun way. Like, I was watching Martin the other day, which is still funny. I was watching the Jamie Foxx show the other day. And then, like, I'd flip on a couple episodes of Fresh Prince, and I was like, Fresh Prince feels like it came out yesterday still somehow. And to make something that's, like, that specific of a cultural snapshot feel so fresh, no pun intended, is kind of amazing to me. And, like, even now, I want to go down and watch another episode. That's my tomato soup.
Favorite episode of all time. Do you got one?
I do love when Carlton goes to the hood. That shit is so fucking funny. You make me pick between my children. This is cruel. Cruel thing you're doing, Dan. That episode is just so fucking funny to me because, you know, Carlton is just a square for the whole series. And then he's like, the nigga's down, like in the hood, just like running through. I love that episode. But my ultimate favorite scene, and it's so stupid and it's small, and I don't even know if you remember it, I think Will and Carlton messed up some sort of employment opportunity for Ashley, and they like, and she's pissed at them, and they have to apologize to her. And do you remember that, the hand puppet scene?
Oh, yes.
I just throw that shit on YouTube and watch and just grin like a fucking idiot because that shit is so funny. And you actually see Ashley break a bit during that scene. You watch it back and it's so fucking funny. They rip off the hand puppets. I'll run that scene back the whole time. That might be my favorite moment in Fresh Prince. It's a random one, but I love it.
1, 2, 3, hey Ashley. Will and Carlton are sorry.
All right, so we got Lost in Fresh Prince in favorite, another incredible category. Let's move on to the Forevers. What is your first Forever show?
My first Forever show. I'll mention this one first. Survivor.
Ooh, okay. Just sheer number of episodes in counting, still making more. So you're,
yeah,
that's a really strategic pick, right, from that perspective anyway.
Yeah, right. But I will let you guys in. I binged all 40 seasons during the pandemic.
What?
40 seasons of Survivor, straight up, all of last year, to the point where a writer at Men's Health magazine reached out to me because I was Instagramming about it a lot.
Oh, wow.
And he interviewed me for a piece on Survivor. Like, and it was all of like the champions talking about their experience on Survivor, and I lead them off. Like, that's what started as like a silly joke became like an article I was featured in for my obsession with Survivor. That was my anchor during some dark times, for sure, just to escape to an island. And it's a beautiful show. I think it's a beautiful show.
Talk more about that. What makes it a beautiful show?
I mean, this is gonna sound corny, but honestly, just the plight of human perseverance is on incredible display, and these people are acting in their most innately primal ways in order to just make it to see another day. And I felt like mentally I was also in that struggle at the top of the pandemic.
Sure, fair.
And like, I started to just like see myself in these people, which I know it sounds crazy, but most importantly, by the end of the series, like, these people would come out as totally different humans, and you got to watch their progress and, you know, in a sense, become friends with these people. And you have returnees and you have different theme seasons. And I think Jeff Probst is the best host of anything on TV ever. Jeff Probst is my favorite host. I've worked and met all sorts of famous people. If I'd met Jeff Probst, I would turn into a puddle. I would die for that man. I love him. And to the point where, like, I'm considering sending in a tape to see if I can, you know, get on the show in these days. Yeah.
Do it.
But yeah, 40 seasons, 15 episodes a season. Ran through all those in 4 or 5 months. It was.
So had you not watched Survivor before this?
I had. I'd watched Australia when I was, I think I was in middle school, maybe elementary school. And then just I had no idea it was still on. I had no idea it was going. And a friend of mine told me to watch, I think Heroes vs. Villains season 20 was on Netflix. And I started watching, I watched that whole season. And then I was like, what if as a bit, I watched all these episodes? funny content. Lo and behold, I just started right at one. And by the end of season one, I was like, I'm climbing this mountain. I'm watching every fucking episode.
Wow.
So, wow. Yeah.
Now, has Survivor as a format lost its way? Have the producers, as a producer yourself, there's three producers on this call, and a lot of the feedback that you get of current Survivor is like, we kind of just miss like the OG simplicity of it. Like the outwit, outplay, and outlast. There's not Redemption Islands. There's not 37 immunity, hidden immunity idols. There's not all these extra bells and whistles that have now been added and feel almost, you know, baked in now. Like, can you go back? Do you think it's lost its way? Does it need to go? Like, what's your thought on how it's, especially someone who watched it in such quick succession, what are your thoughts on how it's developed in its later seasons?
Very interesting question. Very, very good question. I'd say there's like three eras of Survivor, colloquially. 1 through 10 is like, you know, just like the beginning. And then the golden age of Survivor, the golden like era of Survivor, is essentially 10 through like 20, 10 through like 22. And then there's like new school Survivor, which is like 20s through the 30s. The 30s are very much new format. I think they all generally just moved to Fiji. Like, there's no more geographic locations.
Right.
they have Survivor Country in Fiji. And once you make that decision, I'm cool with the format changes. I like the fact that there's evolution in the game.
Well, Survivor is a show that I never got into because I was like, I don't really like that type of show. But then I really got into The Challenge. And The Challenge is like one of my favorite shows. And so that kind of makes me think, oh, should I go back and give Survivor a chance? Because maybe I will like it, you know?
It's so fun. Me and my roommate, just locked up in the house, he would throw on like 4 episodes of The Challenge. I'd throw on 3 episodes of Survivor. We were just both concurrently watching. And funnily enough, you'll enjoy this as a Challenge person. when I worked at MTV, I was an AP on a behind the scenes shoot for the Dirty 30 season.
Get out. Mm.
Yeah, yeah. So I was like, oh, bananas is late. Like I was right in the middle of it for this whole thing. I was talking to CP. Like I was like making sure we got the drama in that corner. Like that's like my first real time kind of like helming like a real shoot. Uh-huh. I've spent hours with all those people.
We're both challenge heads. Add it to the list. Another reason why you got to come back and share some stories. Adding it to the list.
I'm in, baby. I'm in.
I love it. Shoot, survive. I mean, that's as close to a perfect forever pick as you can get just by sheer number of episodes. And also, you know, you just went through it, so you know you can do it. Great pick.
Well, and it probably is not going away anytime soon.
No, they'll make them forever. So what are you going to put next to Survivor in your forever category, slot number two?
Chappelle's Show. Ow! I love Chappelle's Show so much. I can recite every line and sketch verbatim, honestly. Chappelle's Show molded me. I remember begging my mom to go to FYE in Holyoke Mall in fifth grade and get me the box set DVDs of the first season. And then we went upstairs to Best Buy and got myself a little mini DVD player. And Chappelle's Show was the only thing. I'd fall asleep to Chappelle's Show. It was the only thing that was on my brain for like most of my childhood. And like it was a very informative part of my personality for sure. Shoot, I watched an episode the other day with my sister. We're watching the Prince sketch, the Black Bush sketch. Like we were.
It's so good.
So good.
So we share a forever show, Christian, because Chappelle's Show is in my criteria as one of my is my forever show. And in spite of the fact that I think there's only what 26 episodes, I could watch all 26 of those episodes all the time.
How do you feel about season 3, the lost season? That's a divisive one.
I still like them all. I mean, look, the first two seasons are the best. I mean, like you get Rick James, you get Prince. And I was a PA very randomly. So I was a PA on Chappelle's Show. And then I got to go and see a show because of that. And the show that I got to see live was the Rick James show.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah. Isn't that wild? And he came out and was like, guys, like, we're doing something different. This is going to be kind of crazy. Like, you got to go with me. And then the Charlie Murphy happened, and it was just like, oh my God, this is...
Listeners can't see me, but I'm bowing right now.
It's still probably one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
It's like, I don't know, like in the MLK I Have a Dream speech, if you saw like Brandy's head in the background, like that's how it feels. Like, you're part of history.
Seriously.
Yeah, no, that's fucking amazing. Where did they shoot? I never.
I want to say it was at the 106 and Park Studios.
Okay, got you. Okay. I always wondered that. And LimeWire was huge back in the day for everybody.
Yeah.
I would listen to MP3s of all of Dave's stand up. Like, I'd rehearse them in the mirror for no one. like Chappelle became like my pops, my friend. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think a lot of my relationships to these shows is just like they became family members.
What's a couple of your favorite sketches?
We'll make you choose from your kids again.
Okay. I could watch the Prince sketch like on loop until, you know, I don't even know. Till the ozone depletes, till like the second generation of humans on planet Earth. Like I could watch the Prince sketch every fucking day forever. I love that shit so much. But can we all recognize how wild it is that Clayton Bigsby was the first episode of that show?
I know!
That's something that I think about all the time as well.
Yo.
My high school story was my friend had that same box set and like, the white box set.
Fuck yeah, I got it in the room.
Dude, Clayton Bigsby, like I saw that and my brain exploded like the people's heads in that sketch. Like... the fucking balls to, this is your pilot. This is the first thing anyone's going to see.
For the last 15 years, a man named Clayton Bigsby has been the leading voice of the white supremacist movement in America. Despite his popularity, very few have ever seen him due to his reclusiveness. But in an effort to bring his message to a wider audience, he agreed to give his first public interview ever to Frontline. But getting to Mr. Bixby was an odyssey in itself.
Excuse me. Not sure we're in the right place. We're looking for Clayton Bixby.
Well, look no further, fella. You found me.
Clayton Bixby, the author?
What, you don't think I can write them books? Just because I'm blind don't mean I'm dumb.
How could this have happened? A black white supremacist.
It's so funny. Because Neil Brennan used to pop in through The Daily Show a lot.
Oh, sure.
Back when we were in studio and before there was a plague. I'd periodically produce some of his pieces, and I'm just like, you're like royalty, dude, in my mind. You created one of the best. I'd have to stop myself from geeking out. I'm like, you're Neil Brennan. Like, I love Chappelle's Show that fucking much. So Clayton Bixby's great. Me and my sister just watched The Nigger Family.
Oh, so good.
Oh my God. It somehow got funnier. I'm not. And it's like, oh, you're going out with that nigger boy from no, Julie, not that one. No, Tommy. Oh, okay. I love, and Chappelle breaking the fourth wall in that sketch and being like, this racism's killing me inside. Mwah. I love The Nigger Family. I love playing Bigsby. I love the Prince sketch. I love Black Bush. I love it all.
That's the thing. There's no misses, right?
I mean, and Chappelle's Show will always be in my heart, but this man, Dave, now it hurts. There's a lot of pain in my choices, I'm realizing.
Mm-hmm. It is, man. Yeah, you have a complicated, the trans stuff is just.
Trans stuff is tough.
Really tough. It's sad to see and angering to see as well. It's really tough.
He's helped me through a lot as a comedian and artistic force. And again, part of my DNA. So that was tough. Especially, and then essentially blocking affordable housing for Yellow Springs. We just didn't want it in his backyard.
Yeah. Basically said he'd take all his money if they proceed with doing it. And it's under the guise of I don't want a big developer coming in here, but the optics are not good, Dave. Not good.
He saunters up to that podium like Scrooge, and I'm like, who the fuck is this dude that I loved?
Yeah.
This past decade's taken a lot of my homies from me, from the Kanye of the world to but I'm always gonna love Late Registration by Kanye, and I'm always gonna love Chappelle's Show.
There you go.
There comes a point where we have to divorce the artist from the art.
I know.
Sometimes, I think. And it's tough.
It's tough.
So it's I think it's a great forever pick.
I think it's an incredible forever pick. And looking at this entire criteria, yeah. Maybe it's studded with a lot of things that for you equate to personal loss. But looking at it, this is a criteria of heavy hitters. This is an absolutely top to bottom, blue chip criteria. So to recap, Breaking Bad and Game of Thrones are the best shows that Christian Bonda has ever seen. Lost and The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air are his favorite shows of all time. And he would watch Survivor and Chappelle's Show forever. Top to bottom, man. Incredible criteria.
Before we sign off, we have a quick lightning round that we didn't tell you about, which is what makes it fun.
All right.
So for this, we have a mini BFF where we're going to ask you to choose a best, favorite, and forever in a surprise category. So because it's only a lightning round, you only need to pick one for each category. Don't think too much about it. The fun of this is that it's just kind of off the dome. Because I love that you are working on the adulting podcast with Jordan Carlos and Michelle Buteau. So I would love for you to do a mini BFF on podcasts. What's your best, your favorite, and your forever podcast?
Best podcast right now, Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
Yo.
So good.
Yes. Favorite
podcast. I need that show every Wednesday like I need water.
Dude, same page yet again. I fucking love that show.
So good.
Yes, Brandy, both of you.
Yeah.
And by the way, another two guys that did a lot of Survivor rewatching over the pandemic.
Yes, and they probably subconsciously propelled me towards my own binge. Right. Yeah, for sure. It's the best podcast that I'm listening to out of the bajillion that I listen to. Favorite podcast is going to go to The Read with Crystal and Kid Fury.
Oh, I don't know this one.
I don't know this one.
Oh, it's two queer New York-based folk that started out as internet friends and have have since, you know, birthed this beautiful, lovely show in which they, it's a black ass show. They do, they do hot topics. They do all sorts of just, you know, highlighting black things. That the listener letters are my favorite thing in the whole world. And they just play off each other so fucking well. I love them. And they're best friends, and you can really feel it through the show. And they encapsulate and end the whole show with a read. Those that don't know, like, getting read is just getting your ass whooped verbally. They'll read a DeSantis, they'll read a Ted Cruz, they'll read a Chappelle. And that's how they end the episode. And it's fucking great. And I love them.
I want to check that out.
That's awesome. Yeah, we're going to check that out.
As a black person, definitely, Brandy, that's, you're going to love this shit.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm excited. It's going to my list. All right, what about Forever?
Okay, Fresh Air with Terry Gross.
Great choice.
Classic.
I fucking love Terry Gross.
Yeah, I think Terry Gross is one of the best interviewers ever, and I don't say that hyperbole. I truly think she turned the medium into like an art form in a really incredible way. And she, the amount, like the variance of people she's able to get down and dirty with is fucking amazing. My favorite Fresh Air episode was, I don't know if you ever listened to the Jay-Z episode. First of all, Terry just gets the wildest things out of Jay-Z. Essentially, Terry gets Jay-Z to admit that he never asked the creator of Annie the Musical if he could use that sample in Hard Knock Life. And just kind of did it anyway. And the dude like died a little bit later, but apparently he liked the song. Like, Terry got Jay-Z to admit that.
wow.
And then she'll, you know, fucking have Joe Biden on and, you know, chop up political stuff. Terry's my favorite. Mm-hmm. I could listen to Fresh Air forever, you know. And when it comes to podcasts and just radio in general, she's the one. She's my one. I wrote a paper on her in college.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
She's amazing.
Christian, this is incredible. Thanks for hanging with us.
Mad fun. Thank you, too. Seriously.
Yeah. I mean, incredible lightning round, even better TVBFF criteria that you got going on. And with that, that's going to be a wrap on this episode of TVBFFs. Thank you again so much to our guest, Christian Bonda. Christian, where can we find you? What are you up to?
You can keep an eye out for Adulting with Michelle Batuo, Jordan Carlos, and then my work on The Daily Show with Trevor Noah.
Nice. And what about your socials? Where can people follow you?
Hit me up on Instagram at ThatBoyBanda. Perfect. I post really stupid shit. I post TV shit. You know, having a good time over there.
Perfect. Please go follow Christian, watch his stuff, listen to his stuff. And then also rate, review, subscribe to our stuff. Check us out on Instagram. We're at TVBFF Podcast. You can email us as well at TVBFFpodcast@gmail.com.
Yes, we would love to hear from you all. So reach out and send us your six. We want to know your top six shows of all time and where they fall on your own personal BFF criteria. So send us your picks and we'll share our favorites on the podcast. Bye, friends.
Bye, friends.
Thank y'all. You've arrived here.